Thank you, thank you. Ooh, this is fancy, guys. I haven't preached on this yet. I feel so fancy up here. Although it's clear, so I'm a little like, ooh, now you can see all my mess. See my 9 pages of notes. Did I scare you? Don't worry. I have it in giant font. We're good. It's not really 9 pages. But before we start, I want to pray one more time. Because this word, man, when God spoke this word to me, I thought, man, like, it's so harsh, God. But as I studied it more and more, he showed me, no, it is a love note. It is a holy love note to my church, to my bride. So let's just pray and prepare our hearts for the word. Father, I thank you for your word, God. We do not take your presence lightly. Father, your word is holy. Your word is holy. We want to hear your voice. God, I pray that you would prepare our heart, our spirit, to hear your voice, God, as you speak. None of my own words, but what you want to speak to every heart in here today. We bless you, Jesus. Have your way. Amen. Amen. So, respond to his voice. I should have called it a love note, but respond to his voice. We need to establish the presence of God to be the ruler in our life. It is a warning. This message today that I have is a warning to establish the presence of God in our life. He loves us too much, church, to keep us in our sin. He loves us too much. He wants us to be set apart, just like these children dedicated up here. It's always cool how God works, because when I prepared this message, I didn't even know we were dedicating children. And so God just does that. He works. He works all of that in the way that he wants it to work out and the way he wants his word to come out. But look at Samuel. Samuel was set apart as a child, dedicated to God, and he learned to hear and to know God's voice at a very young age. But you know what? He was put in a place. If you, just a really little tiny quick backstory, is Samuel was put in a place. His mom cried out for him, and God, give me a son, give me a son, and dedicated Samuel back to God. And Samuel was brought to the temple and put in that place. And so parents, we have an obligation to put our children in a place to hear from God. We have an obligation to do that, to place them in God's presence, to surround them by God's presence, to surround ourselves, you too, as a child of God, not just children, not literal children, but figuratively children of God. We have to put our place in God's, ourselves in God's presence. So 1 Samuel 15:1, God sent Samuel to tell Saul to punish and destroy Amalek. So Saul, or Samuel, he learned to hear God's voice. Here now in 1 Samuel 15, he's older. He's an older guy now. But see, he learned to hear God's voice a long, long time ago as a little boy. It didn't happen overnight. He knew God's voice at a young age. And Samuel said to Saul, 1 Samuel 15:1, he said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, Israel. Now listen and pay close attention to the words of the Lord." Have you ever done that to your children? Listen to me. Listen. Pay attention. Focus. I think I do that probably 20 times a day. Listen to me. Listen, 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 right? Pay attention. That's what God is saying here, church. Listen. Focus. Pay attention to me. This is serious. This is a warning. So let's focus and listen to what the words of the Lord say. Get in a position to hear God's voice. Position yourself to hear God's voice. Because he sees the future. He sees you in your tomorrow. And he wants only good for you and your children. He loves you so much. He desires a relationship with us. He wrote the word to teach us, to warn us, but to tell us about his goodness. Thank you, God, that you see us. God sees you. He sees you where you are. Some of us might be like, oh, no, he sees me. Oh, my gosh. I know there was a time in my life, I call my stupid years. And there was a time in my life, I'm like, oh, no, God sees me. I'm in trouble, right? So if you're in that place, it's okay. It's a loving place. God sees you. He loves you. Thank you, God, that you see us right where we are. But you love us too much to leave us right where we are. In 1 Samuel 15:3, it says, now go and strike Amalek and completely destroy everything that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Whew, that sounds harsh, right? Why you gotta kill the babies, man? But listen, God sees future generations. He sees what we don't see yet. He sees down the road, so we need to listen and obey fully. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for compromise. Or generations to come will reap what you have sown or what we don't kill. What we don't kill, the little things. So I'm not, obviously, we're not killing babies and little animals and stuff anymore. Thank God. Like Jesus, the blood of Jesus came. He took care of that. New Testament, thank you. Lord, we don't have to sacrifice animals. You were the sacrifice, right? But I'm talking about even the little things in life. Think about the infant things, the baby things, the little sins that we hold on to, that we just, oh, it's okay, it's not a big deal, those things. So next, I'm not going to read that whole story to you, but next, Saul goes and he gets some armies together, and they set out to destroy Amalek. But I want you to, as we read a couple more verses, not chapters, scared myself too. As we read a couple more verses here, Samuel, look at two choices. Samuel was filled with the presence of God. Saul, he had a form of godliness. A form of godliness. Which one do you want? Or which one are you? Which one are you? 1 Samuel 15:8. He captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites. I practiced this like 15 times, you guys. Amalekites, alive. Though he totally destroyed all the rest of the people with the sword. But what did he say? Now listen to me. The Lord said, listen to me. Listen to me. Destroy all of it. He did not listen. He did not destroy all of it. God said, destroy everything. Destroy it all. I see what you don't see, church. I know what you need and what you don't need. And I only have good for you. God says, I love you. I only have good for you. You can trust him. You can trust him with everything. Because Jesus already came to destroy the works of the enemy. He took too much on the cross for us to keep a little bit back. We've got to stop. We've got to lay it down. In 1 Samuel 15:9, it says, Saul and the people spared Agag. I want to stop there for a second. The people. He was a people pleaser. You go back and do that. Study this week in 1 Samuel 15. Study 1 Samuel, the whole book. But study about Saul. He was a people pleaser. He feared people more than God. In church, we've got to stop fearing people more than God. And I'm not saying don't love people. You need to love people. So don't get it wrong where you just yell at people. That's not God either. You need to have the spirit of love, but love people. And please God. Love God more. Don't please people. So Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and everything that was good, they were not willing to destroy them entirely. But everything that was undesirable or worthless, they destroyed completely. The things that were convenient for them. They're like, oh, that's not bad. We don't have to destroy. Why would I kill a perfectly good animal? I can keep that. It's not that bad. Oh, come on. It's not that bad. And we sit around justifying our little sins, right? The little sins. It's a cute baby. It's just a little baby. It's so cute. It's not harmful. God said, destroy it. I see the future. I see what will happen in the future if you don't destroy it now. So they kept the good stuff. The oxen, the sheep, they figured, oh, we can use it, right? Ugh, it's yuck. It's disobedience to God, and it's yuck. You're sending disobedience to your future kids. Those kids up here, would we willingly send destruction to our children? No, we would not. But when we're not willing to kill what God has told us to destroy, that is exactly what we're doing. They will have to deal with those giants that you did not destroy because you thought it was cute and it wasn't that bad. We've got to get rid of it. God is calling us to wisdom. Number two, he is wisdom. He sees the enemy's plan way ahead of time. We need to trust him, not ourselves. Anybody ever try to trust in themselves? Whew, it doesn't work out that good, does it? Don't trust in yourself. The shirts, you know, I get the saying, I am enough, because you are, in Jesus' eyes, you are enough. But I'm talking about the secular version of, I am enough, I can do it, I don't need it, I am woman. No, we are not enough without Jesus, right? With him, we are enough, but not without him. We cannot do it by ourselves. He knows where the landmines are. If you're walking, we're walking through this world. I'm telling you, we live in a broken world. It's full of sin. But take heart, because we have the one who overcame the world. When we know Jesus and we're walking with him, we have him. So I'm not here to preach doom and gloom to you, because we can walk confidently and boldly through this world. And why would you not want to hold his hand and let him lead you when you know there are landmines waiting to go off everywhere? There are landmines, and he knows exactly where they are. So I want to be led by my Savior through those landmines, right? For example, look at Esther. We see again, a couple books down, it's the same thing, it's the same thing. People are coming back. The enemy comes back to try to destroy God's people. We see again trouble with the enemy. The devil will use the future opportunities to creep into your family. Kill it now. Respond to God's voice now, like Samuel as a young boy. Learn to hear his voice early on. Early on, obedience. Spend time with him. Don't ignore his promptings. The little things, when he's talking to you, don't do that. Don't do that, because he sees it's coming later. Kill Agag now. Kill everything now. And in Esther 3, Haman was an Agagite. That was the descendant that he came from. And he hated Mordecai. He hated Mordecai. When he found out Mordecai was a Jew and he wouldn't bow down to him, he set up a plan to kill and annihilate every Jewish person in the land. Every single one of them. The devil hates you. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's an open book test, and we already know that. We've got it right here. It's always been his plan. There is nothing new. The same plan from the enemy. So identify it and kill it. Number three, the compromise. Don't allow this world's view to cause you to compromise your kids, your family, your friends. This world needs to see an uncompromising, sold-out body of Christ who fully obeys his voice and his word. And I just want to take a second. I didn't give them this verse, but in 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5. And yes, it is the Amplified Version, and I proudly read from the Amplified Version. Some of you guys know that joke, but if you don't, then we'll just let you think about it. So, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Holding to a form of outward godliness, religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith, avoid such people and keep far away from them. So many warnings that God has given us. A form of godliness, but they don't have his power. They don't walk with his presence. Stay away from it. Stay far away from it. It is a warning from God's word. Stay far away from it. Get your family and your kids away from compromise. In verse 9, how Saul spared Agag and the best of the animals, the good ones. That was the form of godliness. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Look, oh wait, we're gonna sacrifice it to God. See? It's a form of godliness, doing it their own way. And you know what? I know that not everybody in here or watching online is the one that's maybe even sinning. You're walking with the Lord. You're obeying his voice. You're walking with him, but maybe you're living in the result of someone else's compromise. You're living with the result of someone else compromising, and the result of that is hurt and brought pain to your life. But God is saying, come to me. Worship me with it. Bring it to me. Lay that hurt and that pain down at my feet. Don't carry it. Don't carry it. Give it to me. He wants to heal you and bring you close to him. He wants to allow, or you need to allow that pain to fuel it for passion for Jesus. He wants to take it. Or maybe you're Samuel warning others. Maybe you're the Samuel in the family holding up the godly standard. Keep on loving them, church. Don't give up. I know it's frustrating, but hold up that standard. Hold it up. Even if they get frustrated with you, ask Holy Spirit, God, show me through your eyes how to have compassion for them. Not to get upset with them, not to get angry with them, but to love them. This broken world that can be so ugly and frustrating, ask Holy Spirit to show you. Give me compassion for them. Help me to see where they're hurting and have compassion for them. Don't give up on them. Sin looks cute, all wrapped up, right? And the world's wrapping. It's not bad, but God is saying destroy it. Destroy the compromise. The compromise of gossip, the venting. We call it venting. I've done that. So you guys know you have too. Don't even try it. You say, I have to vent. I need somebody to talk to. Talk to Jesus and knock it off. Stop it. And I'm telling you that because I tell myself that. So don't do it. We've got to have all of those areas of our life have to be completely surrendered to God. That relationship that you're justifying. Oh, he goes to church with his dad. I said that too. Stop. Just stop. Stop. A form of godliness. It is a form of godliness, but without the power. The Bible says, run from it. Stay away from it, you guys. Stay away from it. Listen. Like the parents clapping over here. Yeah. That thing that you put before God, he'll show you. Do you know that there's so many areas that we put before God that we don't even notice? I know there was like a week ago, okay, I'll just pretend. Like 20 years ago when I was worrying, no, about a week ago, honestly, when I was worrying and I'm worrying and I'm worrying and I'm worrying, God's like, stop, just stop. And I'm even pray worrying. You ever do that, pray worry? Oh, Jesus, that's worrying, stop it. And he's like, listen, you're focused more on that than you are what my word says. And that's an idol. That is becoming an idol. You're putting that before me and we can't allow it. I can't allow my people pleasing. You guys, listen, I like peace. If you don't know me, that's why God put me with Pastor Troy. He knew. Take my glasses off. I love when he's not here because I can talk about him. Yay, so fun. So he knew, no, don't video, don't tell him. He knew, like, because he's so, like, he's, like, made for war. Like, his name means, like, foot soldier. But he knew I needed that, too, because I'm like, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. So he knew that I needed him, too. So it goes both ways. But I'm a peacemaker. Like, God made me to be a peacemaker. I just want, listen, if you do something wrong to me, okay, I forgive you. Let's hug and be friends. Like, I don't care. I just want peace and I want love and I want happiness and I want, but you have to be careful because at some point you can become a people pleaser like Saul. So you've got to watch out for the little. That's good. Isn't it good to please people? Remember the infants? Kill them. And I'm not talking about real babies, so watch it because you know I'll fight for those babies. But I'm talking about the little infant sins. Those are sins too. Anything that you put before God is sin. And he's so gracious and merciful that he will show us. So even as you're sitting here now throughout your day, it's coming for you. If you ask him, it was a couple weeks ago. And I'm praying. You know, we get the good worship songs in the car. And we're like, holy, and all the angels cry. Right? You're singing? You guys with me? So we're singing, we're pouring it out to Jesus, and I'm like, God, I want to love people, the hard to love. Help me, I want to love the hard to love, God. That was my prayer. Oh, gosh, wait for just... So be careful what you pray for, but thank you, God, because not even a couple hours later, whew, I'm telling you, he'll use your family. You think... I was thinking the hard to love in the store that smell funny. That's the hard to love I was thinking about. I didn't think it was my own family. I'm like, what? How could you hurt me like that? You know better. I don't like them anymore. Like, I'm leaving. And God said, you just asked me. You just asked me the hard to love. Oh, I did. I did. But you know what's so cool about Samuel? That's why, parents, please, if I could beg and plead with you. Listen, I love all of you, but I'm telling you, this is harder for me. I'd rather be in there with them because I love them so much. But no, I'd rather be with you too. Don't take that personal. I didn't mean it insulting. But I'm telling you, please teach your children young. You have control over what they do. You can turn it off. You can feed them only what you want them to love. Feed them Jesus. Feed them God's word. Surround them with it. Because you have to teach them when they're young. Because later, when life comes and it gets noisy in about half a second, when that happens and that hurt and pain happens, they're going to need to know God's voice. You know that Samuel, not one word fell from his mouth. Not one word, not one prophetic word failed because he heard God's voice. That's 100%, you guys. It's an A+. A+. 100%. Every time he heard God's voice. But it didn't happen overnight. It started when he was young. It started early. It starts in the early, quick obedience. That's why it's so important to stop and obey God's word right at that moment. Stop and ask God to show you. Trust him. And the more you behold him, the more you look at him, you reflect his image. Now I can reflect him and walk around to this world, and they will see Jesus. They will see Jesus through me. But it's too late to run to the store and get a fire extinguisher when there's already a fire. Right? Hold on, I got to go to Walmart and buy a fire extinguisher. No, your house is done. It's burnt down. It's over. Thank God for the cross, because he comes and mends it and cleans it all up for us. But my point is you've got to know God's word. By the field, church. By the field. There's a treasure buried in the field. Sell all that you have and buy it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth saving your family. Spending that time with him is so important. In 1 Samuel 15:11, it says, "I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and has not carried out my commands." Samuel was angry over Saul's failure, and he cried out to the Lord all night. When Samuel got up early in the morning, that early quick obedience, there's nothing like it. To meet Saul, he was told, Saul came to Mount Carmel, and behold, he set up for himself a monument commemorating his victory. Whoa. Then he turned and went on down to Gilgal. Allow that pain to give you passion for the lost. Samuel was upset. He was mad. He was not happy. Cry out, church. Repent. Change your heart, change your mind, turn and allow Holy Spirit to show you, to change you, renew you day by day. Search my heart, God. Search my heart. Don't allow any of the sin to live. Destroy and kill it all. Be filled with the Spirit of God, not just a form of godliness. Not just a form of godliness. In verse 12, he was up on Mount Carmel making a victory monument. Saul's pride was on full display. Ugh. Don't be that guy. Don't have a victory party with your sin, compromising, thinking God can honor that. He cannot. And it will come back to you or your children after you. Don't send them to fight that battle. Remember, he blamed it on the people. I blame it on that. I blame it on, you know, the compromise. I blame it on, I'm going to get them saved. And we call it sacrifice. But God wants a full, repentant heart to him. He wants all of your heart. He's a jealous God. He loves you too much. He wants all of it. Number 4, and my final point, and almost close, in case you're getting nervous. Number 4, the secret. God wants your worship in the secret places. You know that place I told you about in the car? God, help me love the unlovable. None of you guys knew that. You didn't know that, but then after I didn't after I struggled. I'm telling you, I did pass the test, though. I struggled with it, though, but I did pass the test. And then on my way home, I'm torn. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be angry. Nope, you have a right to be angry. I know I do. And God said, remember you said you wanted to love when it was hard. I'm like, oh. Right? He'll remind you in those secret places, those secret times with him. 1 Samuel 15:14-15 says, but Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. And for the people, they spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. But the rest have been destroyed completely. Then he blames it on the people. His sin, he blames on the people. Oh, what? Right? Blame it on your kids, but they want to do this and they want to do that. And it's just a concert. It's just a song. It's just their friend. Stop. Stop. Allow Holy Spirit to show you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I didn't die for you. I can't die for you. I won't die for you. Only Jesus can die for you, right? He sees the secret places of your heart. Allow him to show you. Allow him to show and clean you up today. There's so many Christians on Sunday morning coming up here, like, with our church selfies, right? Look at me, I came to church. I'm up here worshiping. And I want you to come up here and worship. I'm not saying, because I'm telling you, I am like, I love to worship. I will be the first person up here worshiping. I love to pour out and anoint the feet of my Savior. There is no place I'd rather be. They're not up here worshiping for me. They will not up here worship. No rock will cry out in my name, right? You better get up here or worship in your seat with all of your heart, all of your strength, everything that you have. They're leading us in, but we've got to pour out our worship. You're responsible to pour out your worship to God. But don't have a form of godliness. Or else you're like Saul, setting up a monument for yourself. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, church selfie. Look at me. I'm up here doing it, right? Ugh, it's yuck. God doesn't like it. 1 Samuel 15:22-23 says, Samuel said, has the Lord as a great and delight in burnt offerings, as sacrifices, as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. He's looking at your heart's intent. Verse 23, for rebellion is as serious as the sin of divination, fortune telling. He calls it rebellion. Oh. And disobedience is as serious as false religion and idolatry, worshiping yourself. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And he didn't reject Saul as a person. Don't get it wrong. God doesn't reject anyone. None of you are too far gone. None of you. You're still breathing air. God loves you. He loves you, and his grace is sufficient. His blood has covered it. We just have to surrender it to him. But Saul was rejected as king. God is saying us today that true worship to him is obedience and sacrifice in the secret places. The secret places of your heart, church. Like in Abraham in Genesis 22, he was willing to go in secret and he went up early. You guys, dads, husbands, he didn't even tell his wife. Imagine that. Imagine taking your son, I'll be back, and going up with the hard intent to sacrifice your one and only son. What a husband. What a husband. That's a word for you men. That is a word for you. Stand up. Stand up and be the man of your house. Stand up and be the priest of your home. Stand up. Be willing to say no. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will not compromise. We will not put anything before the Lord our God. We will not put our conversations, the words of our heart, the things that we watch, any of it. We will only put this first. We will only put his presence first. And they need to see it with you. That is true worship. Sacrifice and obedience is true worship to God. And it happens when I'm alone. It happens way before I come up here. Way before. Denying myself and killing off the flesh. Growing fruits of the Spirit. Growing is work. It is work, right? Liz and Kelly, you guys have been working out. Sorry, I'm pointing you out, but you're right there. Perfect example. It is work. Ask them if they do one push-up, if that's how they got muscles. Nope. It's not, is it? It is countless hours and hours and going when you guys don't see them, working hard. But how much more in the Spirit? We've got to work. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work on our heart, to work on our life. And when you mess up, you get up again because he's there rooting for you and cheering you on. He hears the ox bleating of the sheep. Some of us don't even know. Look it, you're walking around. Bah! You got some sheep. Bah! Hey, how are you today? Bah! That's how goofy you look. I'm serious. It sounds so goofy, but you're up here, Jesus, and moo. You guys, let me tell you, the funniest meme on Instagram for us children's workers, right, Precious? I might say it wrong. But no, if you guys have seen this, there's no family secrets or something, 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 it says, and until you ask for prayer requests in kids' church. They tell all your business. Don't get mad at them. They're just having prayer requests. Pray for my mom and dad because my dad made her cry on the way to church today. Yep. Pray for my dad. He's still smoking. Yep. Pray for my mom. She texted while we're driving and I'm really scared. It's so funny. No, but really. He wants your obedience, your sacrifice, your true worship in the secret places of your heart. The way you talk and treat your family at home. When you turn off that show because you know it offended Holy Spirit. When you stop the gossip. When you're reading your word. And you're allowing his word to change your heart. And your thoughts. When you're allowing Holy Spirit to correct your wrong attitude. And you say, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to apologize. You actually do what he says to do. You don't just hear it, but you follow through and do it. God sees that. He sees that sacrifice for him alone. He sees that inward suffering when you are doing what is right. When you're holding up the standard. When it's hard because you're not invited anymore. When it hurts. Because you're holding up the godly standard. He sees it and he honors it. And that is holy sacrifice and obedience to him, church. It is beautiful, a sweet smelling aroma that is lifted up before the throne room of heaven in his eyes. God sees it. He sees you. He sees when you say no. To your kids, I have to answer to God. I love you, but I have to answer to God. Now he knows you truly fear him. That to him, that's worship. That's worship. The sacrifice of your heart, the private places of your heart. That is holy, set apart worship to him. Respond with an obedient heart. You can read on in Samuel chapter 15. That's your homework to do the rest of that. That Saul or Samuel had to come and kill Agag himself. But he took care of it. Don't reject God's voice today. You know what? God had a plan. It wasn't all lost because you know what happened next. Is he went and anointed King David. He went and anointed David as king. And we know who comes from David, the lineage of Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior was ushered in for us. That we have a Savior that he knew that we were going to need to rescue us from our sins. So follow his voice today. Worship him alone. So in closing, I'm calling you to establish the Lordship in your life. Establish it. Who are you? Who are you here? Are you Samuel? Are you carrying around God's presence in your life? Are you sold out to him? Are you going before his throne early? Listening right away, quick obedience. Because sin separates us from God. That's why. Submitting to God, you know what that is? It's a safe, protective covering. Who wouldn't want to be there? Who wouldn't want to live in a safe, protective covering of our King and our Savior? That's what he's calling us to. The more I trust in him, it will be easier. The more time you spend with him, you will hear his voice. When Samuel was a boy and God called him, Samuel, Samuel, he was still learning God's voice. It took time to learn it. But every day as you go to him, you're going to learn his voice. And all other voices will be counterfeit. Amen. You'll know his voice. You'll know when he's speaking, and that's what we need to teach to this next generation. We don't bring people in just for the fun of it, you guys. I know people took off work for the eclipse. School was shut down. You need to not send your kids to school on Thursday. That's what you need to do. And be here Wednesday night. You're welcome, kids. No school Thursday. Woo! Going late to work. It's worth it. It's worth it. Because eternity, right? This world is a breath, but eternity is forever. We've got to make heaven crowded. We've got to take people with us, God. We've got to take them to the throne room. So everybody stand with me. I'm going to close. I want you to lift up your hands like this. I want you to lift up your hands with your hands open, just giving to Jesus as a sign that I am laying it down for you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Thank you for your presence. We need your presence, God. We need your presence in us. We want your presence alone. We want to be filled with the holy fear and awe of you, Father. We want to be set apart for you. We want to know your voice above all else. We want to serve you in the secret places of our heart. Holy Spirit, show us now. Show us now where we need to lay it down, God. The places that we need to give and surrender to you. We lay at your feet, Jesus. We don't want to walk around with a form of godliness. We want to walk around with the living, breathing presence of God living inside of us. We're desperate for you, God. Where else do we go? We have nowhere else to go. We have nothing else, God, but you. Help us to live in a place that we stay surrendered to you, Jesus. Now, if you don't know your King and Savior today, he has come to rescue you. He loves you so much. And we celebrated it a couple weeks ago. But man, I just pray that you would feel the love that he has right now in your heart. That he took it for you. He called you worthy enough before you were even born. He knew that you would be here. And he said, I love you. You're worthy enough to die, to take it all. So if you don't know Jesus, I want to pray with you. And church, I want you to pray out loud with me so that it builds the faith of those around us, right? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sin. I repent of my sin. And though any way that I've hurt you, I ask that you would be Lord and Savior of my life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Renew my mind. I want to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, if you need prayer, amen. If you need prayer, prayer for healing, if you need prayer for anything at all, if you want to just talk more about salvation, please come this way first. We have people that would love to pray with you, our elders and ministers and the prayer team. You can come up now. But we love you. We bless you. Come Wednesday night. Bring your family. No school Thursday. Woo! Live right, love everybody, and pray hard.